We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the UNI Panther Point of View. Tune in each week for a deeper point of view from UNI coaches, student athletes, and UNI insiders. Now, here's the voice of the Panthers, Gary Rima.
Hi, sports fans. Welcome, Panther Nation, to the latest episode of the Panther Point of View podcast. This is where we get a deeper point of view and insight from UNI coaches, student athletes, and administrators. Today on the show, we're going to be joined by associate head men's basketball coach Kyle Green. Looking forward to our conversation with him. But first of all, don't forget to download and subscribe to the Panther Point of View podcast from wherever you download your podcast: Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, or at UNIPanthers.com. All right, let's bring him in, associate head basketball coach for the UNI Panther men's basketball team, Kyle Green. Welcome. How are you?
Hey, Gary, I'm doing well. It's good to be here. I'm looking forward to being on the podcast.
Great to have you on. 16th season as a member of the UNI Panther men's basketball coaching staff, three different stints. We're going to get to all of that, but I want to go farther back than that with you. I want Panther Nation, our podcast listeners, to learn a little bit more about Coach Green. Take us way back to where you grew up. Where'd you play your basketball? Just tell us a little bit of your background, Coach.
Yeah, I can do that if memory. I'm getting old now, Gary. It's hard for me to remember these things, but
we all are. Yeah,
I grew up in the Twin Cities. Grew up in Minneapolis. Went to high school right in the Twin Cities at Washburn High School, and played football, basketball, and golf. And then went to Hamline University, which is in St. Paul, Division III school, and played hoops there. And played golf as well, and then had the good fortune after that to kind of got an opportunity to go overseas and be a player coach in Denmark, which was great for me because it was really the first time I'd been away from home. And came back and got into coaching. I knew I wanted to be a coach. I actually went to Hamline originally because I thought I might want to be a lawyer, and they had a law school, and that lasted about a semester, and realized that's not for me. There's a lot of reading involved, and you actually have to have be able to think. And I thought, hey, this hoops thing, I like that. I'm going to stick with that. I can do the coaching. So I got into coaching, taught high school for 3 years and coached at the high school and at the small college level, assistant basketball coach at Hamline. Then I went to Southwest State in Minnesota. And then I went to Augustana College in Sioux Falls. And then I bounced out to Colorado, and I was a head coach at Western Colorado, Western State College. And then from there, I came and worked for Coach McDermott back here at UNI for the first time in 2000. So it got me full circle. And as you mentioned, I've had three stints here. And you know, in between there, I was an assistant coach at Marquette, head coach at Lewis University, and head coach at the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire. So been very fortunate to have a lot of different opportunities and spent most of my career here and raised my family in the Midwest, which was something my wife and I really wanted to do.
Okay. back to those high school days. You played football, basketball, and golf. And tell us about your high school career. Were, you know, were you the quarterback? Were you the left tackle? What did you play in football? Tell us about your basketball. How good was your basketball team? And hey, golf's a great sport to play in high school because you can play that until you're 90 years old if you want.
You got that right, Gary. And I was fortunate. My dad, his office, so his building where he worked was right across the street from a municipal golf course. So in the summers when I was a kid, my parents both worked, he would take me there in the morning, drop me off at the golf course, and I would just goof around on the golf course till noon, and then he'd take me home at lunchtime. And so that's how I got into golf. And you're right, it's a lifelong sport. I encourage both of my kids to do the same thing just because of that. So I wasn't a great golfer, but I was on the golf team and had the good fortune to play in the state tournament in high school there. Football, it was funny. We played in the city conference, and the city conference football traditionally hasn't been great, but we were very good within the conference. So we'd go like 6-1 or 7-1 in conference play. And then we'd have to play the suburban schools, right, in the playoffs. And I'll never forget my last game. We went my senior year, I think 7-1, which got us a good seed in the playoffs. So we got to host a suburban school in our place that was like 3-7 or 2-5 maybe. And they beat us by 6 touchdowns.
Oh, wow.
That was just the difference, right? We had 34 guys on the roster at a big school, and they had, you know, 64. But it was great because I got to play both ways and play all the time and kick and do all those fun things. Even though I wasn't very good, I got to do a lot. And so I enjoyed that. And that kind of really is what got me into loving and being a part of team sports. And our basketball team was good, not great. But I just had really good coaches growing up and loved being around the game and had great relationships and friendships from the game growing up. So it was really kind of, you know, when I started thinking about what do I want to be doing, you know, the old adage, if you enjoy what you're doing, you never work a day in your life. I knew that if I stayed in athletics, that'd be the case.
Absolutely. Talking with associate head basketball coach for the UNI Panther men's basketball team, Kyle Green, on our Panther Point of View podcast. Was there any doubt that you were going to go the basketball route as far as sports after high school? How did that come about?
Actually, yeah, I thought about playing football. I got recruited at a higher level in football. I was a tight end and probably would have been a defensive back, safety, strong safety type of player. And I got recruited by, you know, some scholarship level schools for football. But basketball is what I love to do. And then I went to Hamlin originally thinking I might do both, play football and basketball. And the Jim Tressel, everybody knows, right? Jim Tressel was the football coach at Ohio State. Well, his brother was the football coach and AD at Hamlin, Dick Tressel. So I went there with the idea I might play both football and basketball. And then he eventually decided that, you know, I just wanted to focus on basketball. That's really where my heart lied. Wanted to become the best I could be and be a part of it. We had a really good team when I was a freshman there. And in order to play, I really needed to focus and improve a lot that summer and preseason. So I started with the idea of both and then quickly decided after a few days of football that I was just going to focus on basketball and ended and really enjoyed it.
After playing at a four-year college, the sport of basketball, one thing you're able to do is relate not only with your kids, but the kids you coach on how fast that college season, that college life can go, I bet.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, you don't want to sound like that old guy who's just reminiscing about the past but it does. It is so much fun. Your college career, it's something you only get to do for a short amount of time and to take advantage of every minute and every opportunity to not look back and say, I wish I'd have done that or wish I'd have done this or been more serious about that or just appreciated the wins more and not suffered through the losses as much as I did. You try to communicate that to your guys and to my own kids, you know, and to enjoy it, that it isn't a job. It's just something you get to do and you got to love doing it and enjoy it and enjoy the people. And I wish I did. One of the things I tell guys all the time, I wish I would have journaled. I didn't do that. I started doing that later in life, but I wish I would have wrote things down because I joked earlier about forgetting things, but there's nothing better than when you get back together with my college teammates and we start telling stories. And they'll tell stories that I had forgotten, that I wish I had remembered. So it'd be fun now to look back and really be able to walk through those times. But you're right, it goes fast.
And that's what I was going to ask you. When you look back at that time, were there any regrets? And it sounds like, you know, one of them was just maybe that you didn't jot some things down. And sometimes guys will say, you know, I don't think I appreciated that ride or that time as much as I should have.
No question. And that was me. You know, I took it for granted at times and didn't appreciate it and complained about the hard times and got frustrated, with things that now you look back and that aren't really important, right? Especially at that level, I was playing for the love of the game. I'm paying to go to college. I'm there because I love to play, and I just wish I would have. And I don't have many regrets. Really, it's not a regret. It's just a thinking back. I really should have enjoyed that more, and appreciated the opportunities I had more. And because once it's gone, it's gone. Once your career is over, it's over. And I luckily had a chance to continue playing overseas for a year and get to coach a little bit. But, those college years are really special. And the people you meet, the experiences you have are harder to reform or have again outside of coaching, which I do now once you're done.
That's the next thing I want you to really expand on, Coach Green, is you grew up in the Twin Cities, high school there, college there, and then all of a sudden you go to Denmark, you go overseas. How did that all happen? And you were a player coach, you had great success. Tell us about that experience and how you did what you did, coaching and playing and the success you had.
Yeah, so it really got lucky, right? So much of life, as you know, Gary, is being in the right place at the right time and making the right connection. So I'm working my summer job. I knew I wanted to get to coaching. So my summer job every year was just working at Clem Haskins basketball camps. He had 8 weeks of camp back then. He was the head coach at the University of Minnesota. He had 8 weeks of camp, and I would work all 8 weeks. Some were overnight camps at the University of St. Thomas, and some were just day camps at different high schools throughout the Twin Cities. And I met a lot of different people. I mean, I met so many high school coaches and other college players. And so I'm working, and one day at lunch, this guy that I got to know through working camps, who had been playing over in Denmark, we're having lunch. He's like, "Hey, I'm not going to go. I just decided I'm not going back to Denmark to play and coach. I'm just going to, I'm getting married and I don't want to do it anymore." And they asked me if I could help find somebody. "Do you know of anybody?" That's what he says to me. I said, "Well, I'm done playing. I got no idea what I'm doing next. I'll do it." Literally by the end of that day, they're like, "Yeah, sure. Come on."
Wow.
This is pre-internet, pre-Zoom calls. I mean, making a collect phone call cost $30. It was a different time. So I literally happened into it. And I'm so thankful I did, because as I alluded to earlier, that was the first time. I grew up in Minneapolis, went to high school in Minneapolis, went to college in St. Paul, which was 20 minutes away from where I grew up. This was the first time I was away from home, really, outside of my comfort zone. And to do that for a year was really good for me. And then to get to keep playing, which I really wanted to do, and then to really start coaching, which I knew I wanted to do eventually, but had no idea how to. So to be able to go and play and coach, and not only did I coach the team I played on as kind of an assistant, I had a guy that helped us, but I also got to coach their junior teams. So I coached a couple of other younger teams, 18 and under and 16 and under teams. And so I got to do a lot. And I kind of got the bug. I knew I wanted to, but I really knew after spending some time over there. And then my now wife, then girlfriend, came over at the end of my time there. And we traveled Europe for 4 weeks. And those kind of, like I said earlier, those are the things that you appreciate just from basketball. I've been able to travel the world, not just then, but since then, just through the game of basketball. And without it, I still may be living in South Minneapolis and working at the corner store.
Where did your now wife, Michelle, come into this picture for you?
Yeah, we met in college. She played also. So she was on the women's team. I was on the men's team. We met it's a small school. Now, Hamlin was smaller than my high school. So my high school was like 1,800 students. I think Hamlin was around 12. So you really got to know everybody. And so I knew who she was, obviously, our freshman year. And then we started to date as sophomores, going to the gym and shooting. And then we dated for a long time, because I was kind of bouncing around and coaching and over in Europe. And she was in chiropractic school until we got married in our her late 20s. So that's where she came into the picture, and I'm very fortunate that that she did.
And in Denmark, besides the basketball, what was the experience like for you that year or season that you were in Denmark?
Yeah, it was so great. Culturally, it was great. Just to be in a totally different, you know, culture, in that it's a socialist country, and what that means, their views on the world, having a different world perspective. It was amazing, you know, and they all spoke English so well. And I could, you know, I barely speak English, let alone Danish. They all spoke English, Danish, German. And I have some family from my mother, first generation Norwegian. So I got to go to Norway on weekends, it was a boat ride across, and got to meet some extended family, which was really neat. So culturally, it was a great experience. And it was such a different, you know, in a different time than now, and that communication wasn't easy. I'd go a week without talking to anybody back home, just because it was so expensive to make a phone call. I wasn't joking when I said I'd call my girlfriend, now wife, Michelle. We might talk for 35 minutes, and I would always call collect, and she would get a bill for $60. I was called collect because I knew if she didn't take it, then I was in trouble. I might not be dating her anymore.
Kyle Green, associate head basketball coach for the UNI Panther men's basketball team, on our Panther Point of View podcast. How did that coaching experience at Denmark jumpstart your coaching career?
Well, yeah, I'm funny. I met a guy through that named Perry Ford. Perry was a college coach at the University of Minnesota Morris that I knew of through working camp, but didn't know. But he had taken a team over to Europe to travel. And so I ran into him, and we hung out for a couple days and got to know him a little bit. And then, you know, as I said, I came back and got into high school coaching and teaching. And one day Perry calls me and says, I've got a assistant coaching job available. And I'm teaching at the time in Minneapolis, you know, making, I don't know, I think with my coaching and everything I did, I was probably making $40,000, which at the time I was like, this is great. And I just bought a house that I hadn't even moved into yet, but just closed on it. He called me and said, hey, I got an assistant coaching job here at Southwest State. It's just a basketball, nothing else. And I'm like, great. He goes, the only problem is it pays $5,000.
Wow.
And I said, sure, I'll take it. And just because I knew that's what I wanted to do. And ended up, you know, taking that job and being with Perry, who I had met kind of through my time in Denmark, and then spent 2 years there with him and 3 years with him at Augustana. And I was very fortunate because he taught me a lot about the game and coaching and recruiting and everything that goes with it. So it's funny how those experiences you have in life, just because I had a random lunch at a basketball camp I was working at after I got done playing, turned into you know, a connection that really kickstarted my career.
Boy, and you know what? There's a valuable lesson there for people listening in too, Coach, that you never know when you're going to cross paths with somebody mm-hmm. that is going to maybe have a big impact on your life, your career, you know, where you go, where you don't go.
You know, it's happened to me a couple different times, to be honest, Gary, that being the first. The second is when I got hired here by Coach McDermott. I knew Greg only because I coached against him and would run across him in the recruiting world. And so I was surprised when he called and reached out. And then I got hired after being here for 2 years by Tom Crean, who I didn't know at all at Marquette the year after they went to the Final Four. And Tom shared with me later that he had just seen me kind of working in recruiting and out at high schools and interacting with people. And I had no idea. I had never even talked to him. I had seen him at events because obviously you knew who Coach Crean was, but I had never even talked to him. And he had kind of been watching from afar. So you're absolutely right, Gary, and something I've tried to impart on our players and my own family, that you don't know who's watching, right? You never know who's watching. That's why, you know, it may seem silly, but that's why he's trying never to walk past a piece of garbage on the floor, on the ground. Like, who's watching? You bend over and you pick that up and you put it away because that's the right thing to do. You do that. You do the little things like that, then people will take notice and you'll get opportunities that you never imagined.
Oh, yeah, well said. Absolutely. What was it like working under Tom Crean at Marquette?
Great experience. I learned a lot. It was really challenging. He really demanded a lot of you. You know, it was the first time I had access to a lot of resources that I had never imagined as a small college player and coach. So to meet the people I got to meet and travel the way we traveled and start to recruit at a level that I had never imagined. And he, as I said, was very demanding, put a lot of time into it. He required a lot of you, which, you know, was hard at times, but yet it made you better. I wouldn't have been able to move forward. He often talked about his responsibility was not only to the players, but coaching the coaches as well. So, you know, you learned quickly to dot all your I's and cross all your T's and have an under, you know, you didn't just bring up an idea to bring up an idea. You better have a reason why and have some supporting thoughts behind it. And so it was really good for me, you know, at the age of 32 to be able to go through that and experience it with him for the time that I did. I'm very thankful for that opportunity.
When you look at your coaching resume to date, someone might read through it and say, you know, here's a guy that looks like he's trying to decide if he wants to be a head coach or an assistant coach. Does he want to coach at the D1, D2, D3 level? I mean, you were a head coach at the Division II and Division III level, worked at great programs at the D1 level at Marquette, and now as an associate head coach at the University of Northern Iowa. Just how does that all kind of play out for you when you look at what you enjoy best, what level, what situation, how did that all work out for you?
Yeah, that's a good question. And there was some truth in that. At times there was a bit of trying to figure out exactly what I wanted or what our family wanted. And a lot of it was that, what was best for our family. My wife, Michelle, is a chiropractor and has been really successful with what she does. And so obviously it's easy to move when you're a basketball coach and to start a new job. But when you move and you're a chiropractor, you've got to start a new business from scratch, not know anybody. So, you know, that's part of what landed us back here after our short time in Eau Claire is just what was best for our family as a whole. So that was one of the moves. The other ones were always kind of moves forward. You know, I was a Division II assistant, and I knew I either wanted to be a Division I assistant or a Division II head coach. Well, the first thing that came about was the chance to be a Division II head coach at the age of 29. But the reason it came about was it was a terrible job here. Nobody wanted. I applied for the job, long story short. And the guy, the AD called and said, "Nah, we're going in a different direction. We're going to interview four other people." I didn't hear anything. For 3 weeks, he called me back. Six people had turned it down.
Wow.
And I wasn't qualified for the job, but it was a tough job. It was Western State College. It's in the mountains. It's at almost 9,000 feet of elevation. It is a limited scholarship situation where a lot of teams in the league have 10. You had 5. The high school in town, the next closest high school is about 45 minutes to an hour and a half away, depending on the weather in the mountains. So it was a tough gig, but a beautiful area. And I was like, great, let's give it a shot. And so got there and had a chance to do that for a year. And then Coach Mack called, you know, and it was a chance then to get back home and be at the Division I level, which I'd never played at that level. So you don't know when you're going to get those kind of opportunities, which led to the move back here. And then the opportunity to go to Marquette came. And moving forward again, both with my career and financially. And then that's when the head coach thing hit me and the family. Like, okay, what's best for my family now? And not wanting to necessarily – do I want to get a situation where I'm traveling the world all the time and never home and not a part of my kids, you know, things growing up and the missing activities, and wasn't sure that's what I wanted. So I had an opportunity to be a head coach at a really good job at Division II level. Enjoyed that. And then Jake called. And I thought, you know, this is a chance to get back closer to home and the best of both worlds in a place we wanted to live and a place we wanted to raise our kids. They were getting to that age where they were, you know, second grade, and kindergarten. And so that led to the move back here. So it's around a long, long question or long answer to a short question. But it kind of maybe brings some clarity though as to why, you know, we were moving around and my kids lived in like 7 houses in 9 years.
you're in your position as the associate head coach. You're also listed as the recruiting coordinator. What tell our listeners what that all entails for an associate head coach when you've got to be the recruiting coordinator too.
Yeah, we're fortunate here, and with Coach, he gives all of us a lot of an opportunity to be a big part of the program, and with the recruiting part, you know, what that means is I kind of organize it I don't know. I don't do it all. You know, obviously, PJ does a great job, and Eric does a great job, and we all work together on that. And I just kind of oversee and organize and make sure we're all pointed in the right direction and on the same page and recruiting the guys that we want. But we kind of do it by territory and area, and so it's one of those where you got a title that gives you a little responsibility, but really it's just, you know, nothing more than coordinating and organizing and working with guys who are really good at what they do, as is Jake. And so that's kind of what that role means. And the associate is just a little bit of the same, right? There's just certain times when coach can't be a part of things or has other responsibilities that then I get an opportunity to step forward. But we're all equals on this staff and all capable of doing many things. And Jake gives us an opportunity to do many things and puts us in different positions to grow and learn, which is one of the reasons, you know, I think we've been around as a staff together for so long, is that we're not, you know, we all get opportunities to do different things and grow, and it doesn't get stale and old. And, Jake's great that way to work with.
Yeah, the longevity of this staff. You don't always see this at the Division I level, and in a way that I think that speaks to the opportunity that you guys have at the University of Northern Iowa, doesn't it?
It does. It speaks to a lot of things. It speaks to the community and the people. It's a great place to live, great place to raise a family. It speaks to Coach Jake. He's a great guy to work for. It speaks to the administration and that they've given us the opportunity and the resources to do the things we need to do to be successful and play at a really high level and recruit at a really high level, and taking care of the guys that are part of this program. We've been very fortunate that way. So it's an easy place to represent, and it's a fun place to work. And having, you know, been around and worked at different places and with different people, you really start to appreciate certain things that UNI has to offer and the community has to offer. And, that I think is why you'll see Eric and myself with the family, and then PJ just with the opportunities he's presented and working with Coach and in this community, have stuck around for so long and aren't really, you know, don't have to go anywhere to move our career forward. We have everything we need to do and every opportunity to win at a high level right here.
And back to the recruiting thing too, you've coached at Division I, Division II, and Division III levels, and as a head coach at D2 and D3, you were recruiting kids. Outside of that, you know, it's just the talent level of the players that gets recruited probably at those different levels. What else can you share with us? It just seems to me like, you know, you see that across the country, the Division I recruitment of players. I mean, it is intense. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it gets a little cutthroat and there's things happen. What do you notice in the recruiting of student athletes, you know, across those levels?
Good question. The higher level you go, and this is my experience, Gary, the more people are involved in the process. When I was a Division III coach, it was the parents and the kid. You recruited the parents and the kid, right? You obviously had to communicate with the high school coach or club coach, but you was mom and dad. And the higher level you go up, whether it be here or when I was at Marquette, the more people are involved, the more people outside of their family, more coaches that are involved or want to be involved or have input. And then, as you said, the little more competitive it gets and a little more cutthroat. At the Division III levels, there's no scholarships. So you're selling academics and the school and location and graduation rates and those things. And the higher level you go up, so a lot of those kids are wanting professional opportunities. And they become a little more singular in focus as far as what can you do for me, as opposed to, you know, what opportunities does this university present for me? So here we kind of get the best of both worlds, which is great with how we go about things. I know from just being involved and seeing it from the outside that often that, you know, you go up and up and up and up into higher levels, and all of a sudden the professional aspirations becoming more and more important to those kids, and decisions are made for different reasons with more people involved. It's kind of the experiences I've had, and it's changed a lot. Social media's changed a lot in the last 10 years. Uh-huh. All those factors of it's constantly evolving, which is really what kind of makes it fun too. You got to change as you go. If we're doing the same things now, what we were doing 10 years ago, we'd really fall behind on what we're doing.
Well, and you and your wife, Michelle, sat in an interesting spot here in recent years with both your son, AJ, and daughter, Emerson, Division I caliber, talented student athletes, and all of a sudden you were the parent with people coming to recruit, you know, your kids to come and play at their Division I university. And I would add too that, you know, as I follow college basketball, there's a number of teams that a coach has his son on the team, or maybe a daughter is on the team where he coaches, but you have both a son and a daughter playing at the same university at UNI at the Division I level, which is, I don't know if there's another coach in the country that can say that. But what was it like when you guys sat on the other side of that recruiting thing, when coaches would come to you wanting to have Emerson or AJ come to their university?
Yeah, it was unique, and it was a lot of fun. It obviously speaks to the athletic ability and intelligence of my wife. Those of you that have seen me know that my best recruiting job was probably in college, as we talked about earlier, getting her to go out with me and then finally marry me, which took about 7 years of convincing. So the culmination of them getting recruited at this level, it started there. It was really cool. I learned a lot from my end. To be in the shoes of a parent, the things that I needed to know or wanted to know, the questions, and who I felt was sincere and who was just kind of giving me a spiel. It was interesting to hear different coaches and kind of how they went about it for both Emerson and AJ, maybe even more with Emerson, because with AJ, a lot of them would call, you know, his recruitment was a little odd in that it was, people just kind of assumed he was coming here, and it took a while for it to pick up steam. And then the guys that recruited him were guys I knew often or would reach out. It was still great to take the visits and see what other schools had to offer. But with Emerson too, just the opportunity to talk to some of these other coaches and hear how they went about things and how their universities went about them and their programs. It was really a lot of fun. It was educational for both Michelle and I. And we're just fortunate. I mean, not only do they both get to play at the Division I level, they play at home. So we get to see them play and they're still around the house. We're very, very fortunate and thankful for the opportunities that we have here.
Kyle Green, associate head basketball coach for the UNI Panther men's basketball team, on our Panther Point of View podcast. We'll get to AJ's injury in a moment, but what's it been like those first two seasons and then this junior season to be coaching AJ? You've worked with him. I know when he was in high school, you'd spend time with him, but now actually coaching him and having on the team and traveling and in the team meeting rooms and watching film, and you look over and, you know, there's your son. AJ's a big part of this. And, yeah. And you know, what's that been like for you?
It's been really fun. It's been at first, I didn't know how to handle it and didn't know what to expect. And as you said, I had trained him, but I'd never coached him in basketball. And you miss out on a lot of things when they're in high school. I missed out on a lot of their games because we're traveling and playing. So it starts there, just to be around him every day for the first time in a long time, and to get to experience some of the things that we go through. And as you said, the meetings and just the travel and the meals and the games, that's really been fun. That's been the best part. The coaching part, we've had to work at and get better at. How do we communicate with one? Really me, not him. He just goes out and plays. And how do I interact with him? And how do I separate dad and coach? And I really leave it up. I'm blessed to be working with really good guys who know the game and can coach their butt off. So I let them coach him for the most part. And I try to be dad and cheerlead and pick him up when I need to. That part I've gotten better at, and was really looking forward to this year, hopefully even taking another step forward with that and really starting to appreciate and enjoy. Earlier I said that I didn't enjoy my experience enough in college. I'm not sure I had enjoyed my time with him and now Emerson being here enough, and I really am trying to make sure I do that.
And to see the success that he's having, and I think everybody, you know, that followed AJ's high school career and saw him play thought, you know, he's going to be a really, really good college basketball player and maybe beyond that at the pro level. But then to actually see him do it, be the Larry Bird Player of the Year, be the preseason Player of the Year. I mean, I just, it's got to be so rewarding for you, for Michelle, for the family, knowing the time and effort that's been put into it, and how much AJ loves to play the game. There's that's pleasing, rewarding. That has to be it for you guys too, doesn't it?
Yeah, all those things, Gary, for sure. All those things. And it's cool when you encourage your kids to give their best and do their all, and tell them how hard work pays off when they're growing up. And then to see it happen for him, to reinforce that, it's been awesome because he has worked really hard. I don't know if people understand and appreciate how much time that they put in, Emerson and AJ, behind the scenes to get the opportunities that they have, right? Often people, I hear people say, or I've heard people say, you know, they're just getting those opportunities because of dad, you know, and his coaching and those things. And I can understand that, but I appreciate how hard he works. And then the results, you know, that he's had because of that. And to know he's not satisfied and that he wants more for our team, and he's going to continue to work to get better. So yeah, it has been rewarding in that way. It's been exciting. We're thankful for it. It originally led to some questions as to whether I was actually his dad by a lot of people. There was some DNA questions that back to the mailman 21 years ago. But we're not going to go there, Gary. We're just going to accept that he is mine. I'm going to run with it.
28 years I've been broadcasting UNI Panther men's basketball, and we've had some great, great players, great student athletes come through. I've never seen a UNI player work harder, put in more time away from the required practice time. I've never seen a player put in more time and effort to be good, to be great, than AJ Green. I mean, I just got to tell you, it's so fun to watch. And I know it hit us all hard when AJ had the season-ending injury. Such high hopes, not only for him this season, but for the team. But I can only imagine, family-wise, you know, how this hit you guys. Tell us about that, when the injury happened, when you were finding out how serious it was and season-ending. What was all that like? And then update us on how the surgery went.
Yeah, no, I appreciate those are kind words, Gary, and I appreciate you saying that about age. And it's funny, we were talking at dinner the other night about what he misses most. Obviously, he misses the game, but he's still around his teammates and around every day. He misses the games, but I think he said he misses the workouts and the practices and the grind of getting better. It's funny how you just think it would be he misses playing in the games, but. I think the hardest thing for him has been that, 5 weeks of not being able to do the things that he's done every day since he was 10. So he's adjusted to that. And that part, I think Michelle and I knew when we first found out how bad the injury was, as far as it being season ending, was probably the thing we would most feared, is how is he going to adjust to that? And he's adjusted well. He's put his time and energy into his rehab, and that's going very well. It's never an easy thing to accept, but we know he'll be back out there playing and be part of the team. And injuries are part of sports and part of life. And you learn to deal with them, and how you deal with them is the key. And so far, so good with that. He's going back out to Colorado next week to get a little checkup and a follow-up and check on his progress and do a little testing there to see where he's at. But all things look to be pointing in the right direction to hopefully get him back on the court sometime this summer.
Sounded like the surgery was, or the injury was, a little bit more serious than just the labrum part of the hip too. And how much can you share with us on that?
Yeah, no. Yeah, Gary, he has had the labrum tear, we think, now for quite some time. A lot of guys have them. You can play through them. He just feels a tightness in his hips. And he had a labrum tear. He also had a really big bone spur on his hip, in the hip socket, which was causing some pain and creating the labrum tear. And then eventually that size of that created a fracture, basically, in his hip, where it's like a little micro fractures. And so that's what happened in our second game, where the pain really became significant and shooting down his leg and caused an instability, and those kind of things were from that. From that injury. So it would have been hard to you know, it could have gotten a little worse. It would be hard to play through that. So he had to go in and have, that's what made it a little more serious, was just the surgery and the microfracture, put a screw in into his hip. How's that? How are you going to respond to that? How's your, you know, the bone around that can respond? How's your hip can respond? And so far it's been good. They were able to repair the labrum tear, shave down the bone spurring, so it's much smoother and it won't happen again. And then put the pin in where it needed to be put in. And so that kind of gives you an update of where that was at.
Well, and I understand one of the best surgeons for this type of surgery, not only in the United States, in the world, actually did the surgery, right?
Yeah, we did. We had, you know, there's some great surgeons, obviously, here in the Midwest. And we went down to Iowa City and met with a doc who was great and dealt with labrum tears. Then when we found out the significance of the other part of it, right, the fracture and how that's not very as common, we thought, well, if we're going to do this, let's make sure we spend some time to do a little research and do it right. And we're very fortunate to be able to reach out to a number of people at the professional level and throughout the U.S. that, you know, that have ties to our program and you and I, and it got pointed in the right direction. And then, so it got pointed to Dr. Philippon as his name. And then this is going to be hard to believe too, Gary. Okay. This is going to be really hard for you to believe or anybody that knows me. I have a cousin who is a world-class ballerina.
Wow.
Yeah. She's all over the world, right? From Broadway to everywhere. And so she, I'm talking to my aunt, my mom was talking to my aunt, and she had labrum hip issues 5 years ago. And she went to surgery with Dr. Philippon in Colorado, where we went, and had the same surgery, or the same thing, the same person. We didn't know that. It was like unconnected, unrelated. What are the odds that somebody from Munich, my cousin, is going to go to the same surgeon in Colorado? So when we found out that, you know, he had done hers and she had a great experience, we decided that was probably the best route to go.
Wow. Great news that it's going well, and I can't wait to see him next season on the basketball court playing for you and I. Yeah. Both AJ and Emerson play for you and I, men's and women's teams, and they both wear number 4. What's the significance of that?
Well, it was, you know, that was me being a selfish dad. I wore number 4 in college, so when they started playing Little League, right, and little everything, they're like, what number should we be, Dad? Oh, 4, of course. Everybody's number 4. You got to be number 4. So it just me pushing out of them at a young age, just trying to live through them like every dad. Yeah. And Chuck, and so it's just kind of been the family number ever since. They've both been 4 for, you know, most of their you know, athletic careers.
Number 4 and you and I Panthers, it just doesn't get a whole lot better than that. And before we wrap it up, things are going well for Emerson with the women's basketball program as a freshman.
Yeah, appreciate you asking. She's had a blast. She loves their teammates. She loves Coach Warren and the staff. They're having fun. They're playing well. She's getting an opportunity to play with some experienced players. They have 4 seniors back. So just to get to learn from them and be a part of a good team from the jump has been really cool. She's really enjoying her time and everything that comes with it, the hard work and the camaraderie and the travel and the bus trips. She's learning to really enjoy that too. So she's looking forward to having a great year.
Yeah, she was a tremendous high school athlete, 3-time first team All-State, and played in the state basketball tournament a number of years. But I got to ask you, she won back-to-back volleyball state titles in 2018 and 19. And also, I think it was that senior year, she was a member of the homecoming court. Now, what was a bigger deal around the house when, you know, when she was a member of that homecoming football court, or when she was winning the volleyball state title? You know how important that homecoming thing is.
Yes, homecoming and the pictures surrounding homecoming.
Yes,
like senior photo. That stuff was. That's a great question. It might have taken all of those things that come with that. Might have been more exciting in the house than her trips to the state volleyball, basketball, or track state tournaments. You know, especially on her end, you know, I know what Dad's thoughts were, but on her end, I'm not going to answer for her. She enjoyed both immensely, but certainly that part was fun with the high school homecoming.
Those are big milestones in those young ladies' high school days. There's no doubt about it, Coach. Hey, really appreciate the time. I kept you a long time today, but great stuff. Really, really glad we could share this time together, and just doing a great job on the coaching staff. Love what you're doing, and you know, with the family. Just it's so fun to be a small part of it. So appreciate your time today, and we'll see you at the basketball court soon.
Great, Gary. Appreciate you and your time and all you do for our team and our program and the university. And we're very fortunate to be here and be a part of it as a family. So thanks for everything you do, too.
All right, Coach. Thanks. Thanks again. That's the associate head men's basketball coach for the UNI Panthers, Kyle Green, joining us on our Panther Point of View podcast. Thanks for joining us. I'm the voice of the Panthers, Gary Reima.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.